Shocker, how are you?
Good. How are you boys doing?
Doing well. So, Jaromir Jagr has 78 playoff goals in 202 games. The Florida Panthers organization has 94 in 684 combined playoff
That's
games.
That's a good stat. I like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you like? The Panthers get rid of Bergenheim. Now they bring in Jagr, and Dale Tallon said there were six teams in the hunt for Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and I think, I mean, we see Jagr the few times he's come through Edmonton here. I think people here watch him and realize he's still got game. He's not as fast as he once was, but he's pretty smart, and he still uses his body really well. He's a beast in the offensive zone when he gets the cycle going and gets down in the corners and stuff. He can still make some pretty sublime passes. So, yeah, I think he's a decent pickup and a guy that can help a team. You know, Florida, it's kind of interesting with Florida. Like, what are they doing here? You know, they've got some unrestricted free agents that some people assume they would be selling off, yet they're very much in the hunt. They're a young team that's kind of trying to rebuild on the fly a little bit here. So I'm a little bit confused as to whether they're movers or shakers or sellers or what their plan is. But it looks like they're going to try and stay competitive, which means the likes of Fleischman and Upshall and Kopechki and some of these unrestricted free agents they have maybe end up staying put.
Yeah, you're right, Ryan. It is interesting, but the thing is, how do you sell off, you know, when you're within a couple of points of that playoff spot? I mean, I think the Capitals are safe, but they're 60 games aside with the Bruins in Florida. 2 points separation, you add a piece like Jaromir Jagr, you're sending a pretty clear message that you at least want to get in and mix it up in the postseason.
Yeah, for sure. And, I like Florida's team that they have some really good young players. Like, they've got some young players that play really high up in their lineup, right? Like, you look at the way their line's set up and the way their team sets up, from Bjugstad to Huberdeau and Barkov, still a really young player. Then they've got Ekblad just playing a pile of minutes, even Kulikov and Gudbranson. I mean, these are young players. This is a young team with lots of young talent on it. So it'd be good for all of those young players to have some playoff experience and to make it. There's value in that. And so I think, Dale Tallon's probably just trying to figure out a way to not necessarily lose all his assets that are unrestricted for nothing, or not necessarily lose everybody and still be competitive, and then bring in a veteran guy that will complement these young players nicely. I mean, he's exactly what they need. The most veteran forward they have of consequence at this point is in their top six, is like a Jussi Jokinen or a Brad Boyes, but Jagr's on a little bit of a different plane, so he'll help those young guys.
You look at the moves yesterday and today, and the fact that Carolina is in free fall mode right now. The race afterwards, sadly for Oiler fans, is going to be very tense just for their percentage points. I don't think they're going to catch Buffalo, but they could find themselves suddenly going from a 13.5% chance down to 7.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I think Oiler fans probably start to get nervous if they're picking anywhere outside that top three, right? Because I think obviously they'd love to have one of those two fantastic centers sitting there waiting. I think Hanifin is a good consolation prize that in a lot of other years probably would be right there with most of the top prospects. So you get one of those three picks and you're in pretty good shape. You get a real good player that steps in and probably is a franchise type player, but you start moving past that and there's good players, but it's not necessarily in the same caliber. So, Todd Nelson's getting more out of this team than they were earlier in the season. They're winning more games. They're not fantastic or at a playoff pace, but it's better. Trading Petrie is going to hurt them. Like, they're going to be a significantly worse off team on the blue line after this Petrie deal happens. And whether that translates into fewer wins or not, I'm not certain. But, I think if you're Craig McTavish, you like to see the improvement, but at the same time, picking outside that top three would not be ideal.
Yeah, you touched on it with Petrie. I'm not so worried about Carolina, although obviously, as Jason said, they're in free fall. But, the Oilers are going to lose Jeff Petrie. And when you go through the names on that blue line, at least where they are in their careers right now, to me it's amazing Nelson and the team, the players play the game, are competitive right now. You take away Petrie from that back end, they're not gaining ground on anybody, I don't think.
Yeah, I'd agree. Now, would you guys play Petrie on Saturday night?
Yes.
Would you put him in, or would you hold off just on the off chance that something bad happens?
No, I look back at trade deadlines. I haven't seen all these teams sitting out players. The trade deadline isn't until Monday. If you played him Tuesday, Petrie, you look, the statistical odds chance of him getting hurt are very low based on his career record. So the only way you'd sit him out is if a team is there and ready to make a trade with you.
Well, and, I think they have teams probably there and ready to make trades
well,
with them.
Okay, but if they're, but you know what, like actually make the trade. This just breaking. David Clarkson has been traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Nathan Horton.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, there's some question as to what Nathan Horton's playing future is going to be like at all.
Well, a lot of people are saying his career is done, sadly.
Yeah.
Well, basically, Columbus says we want a player. They think David Clarkson, they're willing to pay him, right? Because they know he can play, rather than just have Nathan Horton on LTIR every year.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, Toronto's got all the money; they don't care, right? They'll probably take the overcost. That's an interesting trade.
Yeah, I'm just sort of digesting that as we speak now. What's the money difference between the two? My computer's slow, so I'm not able to call it up right off the hop here.
Well. You've got Clarkson, you know, they both just signed deals, right? Clarkson has that deal where he's worth, what, 5.25 per season. Meanwhile, you've got Horton, who's 5.3. So basically a done deal on that.
Yeah.
Right?
But he'd be long-term IR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Horton signed a seven-year contract, right? This is the second year of his contract, and I'm almost certain that Clarkson, that was a seven-year second, so both of them are pretty much identical.
So the Leafs are offloading a big contract for a guy who there's question as to whether or not he plays. Now, if Horton manages to come back and play again.
Yeah, I don't. Aaron Portsline told us he thinks there's almost no chance that happens.
Yeah, and it's a back injury with him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And serious injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, a big player like that with a back injury, it doesn't look good. It sounds like he's done. Well, now, I tell you what, that's surprising they could get rid of. If you can get rid of that contract, and I like Clarkson as a player, I don't know how the wheels fell off him like they have, but that's a pretty good piece of work in Hogtown to get rid of that deal.
Yeah, now Columbus, we think, will move Atkinson. I know he's on our trade bait board on TSN.ca.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a guy with some contract there that can play top six forward. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, they look at it and just want somebody who can play now. The Leafs are kind of going the other way and stripping down. They relieve themselves of some of that money because Horton would just be LTIR, so that wouldn't be on their cap. That's an interesting move by the Toronto Maple Leafs right there.
Well,
there's no salary retained at all or anything like that?
Not so, but the LTIR isn't simply that it doesn't count against your cap. It's there if, you know, you can put a guy on at the end, but there's still some ramifications later on in it, right? It's not just bonus money, but there are some ramifications. But the Leafs, obviously, they can spend way more just because they have way more money in Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, I still like David Clarkson. I mean, I think he plays an honest game. He plays a tough game. He's not worth anywhere near the money they're paying him. But if he can, I mean, it was a tough break for the Columbus Blue Jackets. What happened with Horton, right? They really needed that kind of player. They really liked that kind of player. He was a big add for them, and the fact that it's gone this way with them. And it's interesting, the kind of player they replace him with is a similar guy with some sandpaper in his game, probably makes too much money, but can at least score some goals for you. So maybe a change of scenery will be the resurgence that Clarkson needs. And if they can get even a 17 to 20 goal scorer out of Clarkson, I think that that's probably not bad considering what they were hoping to get out of Horton. So. Interesting deal, creative deal. Dave Nonis showing some creativity, and Brendan Shanahan, and kind of break things down the way. I mean, you look at what they've done. I mean, they got a first round pick, a couple more draft picks, a prospect for a few of the guys they had to, they were going to lose anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the strip down is off to a pretty good start.
Ryan, I wonder if there was a discussion with Edmonton at all, given all their interest in signing Clarkson and actually offering him more money before he signed in TO.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they had lots of interest in Clarkson, and they, I mean, as far as I know, they had him here, and they had him touring the city and on one of the grand tours and the whole bit, and they put a lot into trying to get him, and may have even put more money on the table. I mean, I think it would have been tough for the Oilers to take that contract now, given Clarkson's play. He hasn't been very good. I don't know if the Oilers would have had any discussions with them or not. I know they liked them before, but I mean, I think the only way they would have done it is if Toronto would have retained a bunch of the salary. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. Toronto's found a way to get out from underneath it here. This is a pretty creative move by the Maple Leafs in moving a guy a lot of people felt was unmovable without taking the salary. And I think, like, long-term injured reserve, I mean, that contract is insured too, is it not? So I don't know that the team even has to pay out that money. I'm sort of talking a little bit out my rear end. I don't know all the rules here, but I think they essentially saved themselves pretty much most of that cap space.
Yeah, I got to dig into that one. But I'm sure that by the time the next CBA comes around, there'll be teams complaining that, you know, this will be the new loophole as to, hey, rich teams, you just hide guys on LTIR. Right?
Yeah.
Because you have, the thing is, though, they still have to be under the cap to start the season with that money of Horton. And then the first day, then they can transfer him over. So his cap hit of $5.3 million will count towards their cap next season, just like Chris Pronger in Philadelphia for the one day.
Yeah.
Then you can move him. So you still have to make sure that you have enough guys on your team that you can send down to the minors for the first day and then bring back
up. Keep yourself covered, Well, either way, I mean, I think if I had told you at the beginning of the day that Dave Nonis was going to find a way to get out from underneath that David Clarkson contract pretty close to clean, you'd have been impressed. I think people are going to be shaking their heads a little bit about what Columbus is doing here.
Columbus is
definitely taking a chance on this player. There's no question they're taking a big chance on this player.
Yeah,
but
I think Columbus looks at David Clarkson, and like David Clarkson, I find it funny. Everybody, you know, rips on David Clarkson because he got a stupid contract. Like David Clarkson has 10 goals.
Not his fault.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. So like David Clarkson goes to Columbus, could he score 15 to 20 goals for that team? Quite easily. Is he overpaid? Sure. But they're going to look at that and say, you know what? With the makeup of that team, he fits in exactly what they want.
Matthew Barnaby just tweeted, I can't believe a team that just traded for a player that will probably never play again won the trade. But they did. It's an interesting, it's sort of an interesting, like for Columbus, I mean, they're a team that not so long ago, that's a team that starts the regular season thinking they're going to make the playoffs this year. That's a team that feels like they're in the mix and close. Now, it hasn't gone well for them this year. I mean, clearly it's been an awful year for them and it didn't go the way they wanted. But, I mean, they've got a great young player in Ryan Johansson. You know, Nick Foligno, they just did a contract with him. They got the solid veteran players having a whale of a year this year. You know, they desperately need Ryan Murray to be healthy and to become a regular defenseman that plays a lot for them. But they feel like, I think, at the start of each year, like they have a chance. And this move is, they're adding a player that they're thinking very optimistically about this player and what he's going to be able to bring to them.
Schauger, it's going to be interesting. You better bring your tap shoes on Monday for TSN trade deadline. There might be no trade to discuss. So,
well, I'm not on the big set, so I feel bad for James and the fellas because they're going to be the ones having to do it. But I just don't know that there's going to be much to talk about in Edmonton, guys.
If Petrie hasn't been traded or Schauger, they're going to come to you every 5 minutes.
Well, he is pretty high on the list, and that tells you right there what kind of a sort of a lame year it is, trade deadline-wise. And watch, we always say this, and watch, there'll be 25 trades on Monday, and we'll all be going, what the heck happened? But it feels like it's going to be a little bit of a tap-dancing day for Duffy and company.
Hey, has Steve Dryden sent out a new updated list yet?
I know, he's a beauty.
I love it.
We get three or four new lists every single day, but he's
classic.
The man in charge of it all, tracks it all, and keeps us honest.
Schauger, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, guys, have a great night.